Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your belated host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining as always is Teresa Sammons and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, well, if you're wondering why there wasn't a show last week, well, I'll tell you. I got COVID.
He enjoyed it.
Huh. Yeah. And, wasn't just me, it was the whole family. All three of us got it. And that is a story in and of itself that I will save for telling in a little bit. Because, well, let's just say there's like a whole process that happens when you catch this stuff. Keep in mind, we only got really the milder sides of the symptoms. But we've all basically recovered. My dad, in fact, has completely recovered. In fact, he went and got tested today, and he tested negative. So the virus has completely left him. I'm probably still shedding it, but I no longer have any symptoms. And my mom is still having issues with a cough. But other than that, she's pretty much recovered too. So yeah, but we'll be getting into all that stuff later. Obviously there's a bunch of other stuff that happened this week, including a couple bills making their way into Congress that will hopefully be getting you a stimulus check very soon. There's still more fallout from the crap that went down in Texas with that cold snap coming in and basically wrecking the entire state's power grid.
Yeah.
And how much the state government has been scrambling, trying to find ways to deflect. And we have some good and bad COVID news, including good stuff about vaccines and bad news about people maybe jumping the gun a little too early with lifting restrictions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some news from the Biden administration, and of course, you've got your regular gaggle of culture war bullshit involving some of your childhood that honestly makes no difference to you as an individual or even the product that you can purchase. It's just one of those things that for a long time used to be a real vote getter, and now it doesn't really work that well anymore, no matter how much they try. And, of course, we got some entertainment stuff as well. So, before we get to all that stuff, including my adventures in COVID land, let's start with what we've been doing this week. Teresa, what have you been up to this week?
Well, we have been trying to get back to getting through the Marvel Universe,
mm-hmm.
Because we are grossly behind still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we made a lot of headway. So we watched Spider-Man Homecoming,
mm-hmm.
and we had planned on watching four movies this week. Mm. But since Saturday night, it's only been Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm. So that's, you know, it was good. I enjoyed it. But we had a Zoom dinner party with some local friends that, you know, we really can't see in person.
Mm-hmm.
Although, unfortunately, we did see them at a funeral that, a wake. But that was really unfortunate. But we felt compelled to go, even though there's a pandemic. And I'm glad that we did. And we had a Zoom dinner party, and they're talking about WandaVision. I want to watch it. I want to watch mm-hmm. it so bad. Mm-hmm. But... No, that's not happening yet. Because we won't get everything. Scott will, because he read the comics, but I will not. Mm. So we're working on that, but things keep getting in the way. You know, playing Animal Crossing for 6 hours straight after work, because that's a thing you do. Mm. I've decided to re-terraform my entire island, and I wish there was a Control Z. Mm. Because it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. But I've also been playing some Kingdom 2 Crowns.
Mm.
And, you know, we did a co-op thing with that. We do a lot of couch co-op with that. You know, we also played some 3D Mario World, but not a whole lot this week, so I won't mention it too much. We're working through season 9 of Bob's Burgers and going to be infinitely sad, as I've mentioned before, when there's no Bob's to watch during work lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's our thing. We go and grab our lunch from the kitchen and sit and watch some Bob's Burgers. Although now that it's kind of nice out, maybe we should go for a walk. But yeah, it's Bob's Burgers. So I didn't put it on the list, but we did catch up with The Great North because I think they had dropped like 2 or 3 episodes. So we watched that. That's just... it's funny. It's great. You know what? I am going to watch it because or I'm going to add it to the show notes because that's a great show. That's a great show. But a lot of time has been spent on kitchen cabinets, which you guys have heard me talk about. I took 9 months to paint the upper kitchen cabinets. The upper kitchen cabinets are only about 5 feet long. Well, no, okay, they're 9 feet long. I keep forgetting it does go from one end of the kitchen to the other. But those are painted. They are up. They look really cool, but they definitely look DIY. And I said, fuck it for the bottom cabinets. I'm pretty sure you can understand why. It took a long time, and there was a little bit of a learning curve to that. So for the lower cabinets, instead of painting them white, I got some oil sealer or oil stain from General Finishes, and now they are almost black. So no more orange wood from the late 80s, early 90s. But I still have a little bit more to do. I have to do the backs of a few doors, and then we could put the rest of the stuff on. We had to like take the drawers out and repair some of the stuff, and the guy who lived here before us had very inexpertly glued a door front on or drawer front on that fell off, and there was a huge gap, but that's fixed now. Scott got that all squared away, literally squared, and it looks a lot better. So I don't know, it's just been a lot of fucking work, and all the staining that I did last weekend, I don't know if it was from the VOCs, but man, I felt like I got hit by a Mack truck, and I'm like, the hell, this is stupid. I shouldn't feel like this, but well, it did. So do not recommend. Do recommend saving your money and just fucking having people replace your whole entire kitchen, because that's much easier, even though it's a mess. So that's pretty much what I've been doing other than working. But yeah, that's about it for me. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Just working, being real busy. Unfortunately, just kind of getting worn out a lot. Weather's been not great this week. It's gotten a lot colder for the most part. Snow a little bit.
Oh, nothing geez, to really again?
Stick. Nothing to stick, but just annoying looking at the forecast, seeing nothing on it, and then just getting like...
Has all your snow melted?
Except for the piles.
Okay. Yeah, people we're...
piled it up and all that are still seeing it.
Yeah, we're almost to that point. It's the piles and the shady areas. But god damn, it's a lot of snowpack to melt off.
Yeah. I think some of the piles I've seen are kind of just ice, at least on the top, because it's just melted and frozen over and over again. But yeah, should melt a lot more, because I think we're supposed to get up to about 60 here early next week.
Yeah.
So that'd be nice.
Yeah, I was seeing that. That looks good. I am all about opening up the windows anytime possible, but it's been
we're supposed
like
to get
you
rain
said,
with it too. So
ah, shit, that's not good news.
Yeah, rain later next week.
Okay. Well, at least the chilliness may go away a little bit from this week.
Yeah, it's been the worst part is wind. Every day, like a nice cold wind. As for watching stuff, I watched the rest of the episodes of The Great North. That
show like it
is really done, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a less ridiculous Bob's Burgers.
You know,
the kids are not just doing the weirdest shit all the time.
Yeah,
still get into their own little weird things, but nothing to the degree that the Belcher kids get into. Yeah, and especially the, what was it, the curling episode? Pretty well done. Where the one girl gets to be the coach and she's turns into a hard ass yelling at everybody constantly.
Oh God.
To yeah, the point she gets on roller skates.
But you know, they did it nice bringing in that you know, father daughter time issue yeah. there, and you know, yeah.
Yeah, like when they try to get their dad hitched to the singles nights.
where you win like a freezer full of game meat or something.
Yeah.
That was just funny.
And they're like, oh, well, if you do this, we'll do the thing that he's always been wanting them to do, which was what, chainsaw? Some sort of chainsaw thing, I forget what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, family chainsaw sculpture carving. Class yeah. or something, yeah.
Yeah, something along those lines.
It's like, yeah, I guess that would be a thing that none of them would want to do. But hey, that's the things you do. Also been watching WandaVision. Not going to spoil anything, but has a nice finish. Sets up two things. With the post-credit scenes, I think I know what the two are leading into as far as upcoming movies or shows or whatever. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But yeah, it ends pretty nicely for what it is. And that's been it for the watching stuff. Been a bit too busy to really get to what I really want to start watching. As for games, I've been kind of doing a bunch of downloading of stuff. Because the Yakuza Like a Dragon upgrade for PS5 came out. So I got that downloaded, and that shaved like a good 16 or 17 gigs to switch over. The only problem is the saves don't transfer over. Because I don't know why they wouldn't do that extra work for that. So I have to start over, but I'm only like 6 or 7 hours into it, so I'm not really losing too much from that. I did download Madden NFL 21, since that is on EA Play in full now, not just a trial. For whatever reason, the trial would never work for me on PS5 for some reason. I still don't understand, but once I got the full version, it actually works. The big issue I've seen, besides just some bug stuff, it has like online issues, I think. But the servers don't last for too long as far as I could see, which if you're playing something like Madden Ultimate Team that requires a constant connection, ran into a few weird issues where it would just happen in the middle of the game. It would still let me finish it, but it'd just be real weird about given the rewards and all that till I have to get back to the main menus and log back in. It's like really weird stuff like that. But the load times are so fast that Madden Ultimate Team is now the big slog of wasting time. Cause the packs, opening animations and all that stuff, sometimes be about as long as it takes to now load into a game, complete a quick challenge and get back out. I think I timed one. It was like 17 seconds for opening a pack. And doing one of the challenges took me like 27 seconds. So getting into games now is a lot faster, which is really nice. Big change of pace. It now makes some parts of that game a lot more worth playing versus just jumping into like Madden Ultimate Team would take like a minute to load. You do like one thing, complete the challenge, and you'd be back out. Not really worth the time investment on that stuff. So, but the game itself is all right. There's some nice stuff about it, some weird stuff, and yeah, the bugs have been a little bit weird. The first thing you do when you start the game is it throws you into this little series of plays that ties into the cover athlete, all that. They've done this for years, and I got one touchdown, and as my guy, whenever you score or have some sort of good play, it usually lets you pick what type of celebration you want. And so I did that, and my guy started running to go do it and just stopped at the end of the end zone. Just refused to, like, the character model just stopped. It wasn't frozen. It's just the character model just stopped. And as soon as the, whatever the time that the celebration would happen, ended, it just moved on. I was like, okay, this seems like Madden, for all that bug stuff. So, that's been, pretty much it for me. How about you, Brandon?
Well, this week my gaming has mostly been up with, Splatoon 2. Because, well, I finally finished the main single-player campaign for that game, and boy, that did get really, really hard towards the end. Really finicky with some of that stuff. But it's also, I mean, that final boss fight is a lot of fun. And so now, you know, I finished that, I'm able to sort of go and play, like, regular matches now, and I'm getting better at it. Which is fine. The problem, though, is I suck at it. Like, really badly.
Yeah.
It's mostly just a thing of, like, finding, like, what particular, you know, set of equipment works best for you. And for me, it's mostly the bucket and whatever I can add on that has me conserve ink, pretty much. And, you know, I've been in a team that's won a couple of matches. Problem is you're going up against people who are, like, level 40, level 50, people who've been playing the game for a while. And they don't, you can't really do any ranked matches until you get to level 10. So, yeah. But on top of that, I also went on Nintendo Store and got the Octo expansion, which is pretty much a whole game in and of itself, where it sort of goes more into the lore of, like, the Octolings and who they are and where they live and, you know, why it sucks where they live at. And on top of that, there's, like, 80 individual levels, and they're, like, they're not set up like the regular levels, like in the regular game. They're set up as, like, these kind of, like, combat evaluation tests, and some of them are fine, some of them are incredibly difficult, even arbitrary, I would say. Especially when you realize, like, the mechanics used for, like, if there's one thing that the Splatoon games do not do very well, it's the platforming, oddly enough. Because the ability to sort of hop from one platform to another is, very difficult, because it's you don't really have a very good depth perception in this game. It can be really finicky. And this is especially true when it goes to, like, the rail grinding segments, because in most cases, you know, like in most games, you can, like, just sort of flip in between individual rails, you know, like jump to the left, go to the rail on the left, jump to the right, get to the rail on the right. And that's usually fine, but the problem is that once it starts curving around on itself, then suddenly it gets really finicky and very easy to just jump off one rail wanting to get to the rail next to you and literally just fade through it and fall into oblivion. So, but other than that, I've been taking advantage of Sony's current Play at Home event and also the free games for PlayStation Now. And, because of that, I have been playing Ace Combat 7, which is... Actually, it's been a long time since I've played an Ace Combat game, and I forgot how fun they can be. And I'm also playing Ratchet & Clank, the most recent one, the sort of reboot that tied in with the movie. Which is great. And really, other than that, just basically recovery. trying to let my body heal after it essentially was invaded by Mongol hordes. Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah. So, you know what? Since I brought it up, we might as well just go right into it. So, we're not having a Brandon's Random Factoid this week. Instead, I'm just going to regale you about my adventures in the wonderful world of COVID land.
Okay.
All right. So, where do we start? Well, it probably starts about a couple weeks ago. My parents have some friends in the family that they go out to eat with once or twice a week. And a couple weeks ago, my mom started coughing. And now here's the thing. Both me and my mom have issues with allergies. And it's been a relatively mild winter down here in Georgia. And it was all like pollen was already starting to show up.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, it was that time of year. We didn't think nothing of it. And then my dad started coughing. Now, my dad's allergy stuff isn't as bad. In fact, most of the time it's negligible. But when he does have it, he's like, well, let me put it this way. Me and my mom have dealt with this all our lives. So we're kind of used to it. My dad, on the other hand, is the mopiest allergy sufferer on the planet. you know, then I started getting like allergy stuff too, because again, that time of the year, coughing, sneezing, wheezing. And then, I think this was, last Thursday. No, I think it was last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, my folks got a call from the people who, you know, they go out to eat with on Wednesday. And they got the news that one of them, who had actually was just a couple days away from getting her second COVID shot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A couple days before she was going to go get the second shot, she started... running a fever and shortness of breath and everything. And so they went and got her tested, and lo and behold, she had COVID-19. And guess who had been hanging out with them through the last week?
Well, your parents.
Yes. So at first, we didn't really think of anything of it. You know, there was a concern, but... You know, we weren't really feeling bad or anything other than the normal shit. And then Thursday night, my mom started going into a coughing fit, a mostly dry coughing fit. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to feel a little feverish. A little feverish, and my mouth was really dry. And my mom was like, you know what, we should probably go and get tested. And I was like, all right, screw it, I'll go too.
Yeah.
So Friday morning, we went down to the CVS that is kind of in town, but it's also kind of not in town. It's not like too super far away, but it's like outside of the city. And we went and we got the 15-minute one. You know, the one that's like, it's really quick acting. You just, you know, they just swab your nose and it gives you about 15, 20 minutes till you get your results. And lo and behold, we all had COVID. Yeah. So... It was an absolutely fascinating thing to watch this virus work us over the next few days. Because, oh yeah, because You swear that this virus is almost sentient in the way it screws with you.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, because it's these little things that it does. Obviously, the coughing one is the one most people know about, and it is true. Coughing is like the primary sort of thing that the symptom that you will get from this virus. And combine that with a shortness of breath, well, that's just a whole lot of fun. And yeah, I did not really have any trouble breathing, but I will tell you that my lungs felt a couple sizes too small than they did previously. Meaning that I did not realize how much I was gasping for air then until somebody pointed it out to me. Then of course the fevers kicked in. That obviously was just a whole lot of fun. And then of course there was just like how dry your mouth would dry out. And not just your mouth, but like your entire throat too. And that would end up leading to a sore throat. And eventually my lymph node swelling up and giving me that deep baritone smoker's voice that I had.
Was it easy to swallow or did you have trouble with that?
It wasn't really a trouble with swallowing. It was mostly, it would just hurt a little bit. The one thing that has probably stayed with me is the lack of sense of taste and smell. Because the thing about the losing your sense of smell, they call it anosmia. And it is the weirdest thing because you will not realize you have it until somebody points it out to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unless you're walking by something that you know smells all the time and, mm-hmm. and you realize, oh my God, I can't smell it. But that's not a normal thing.
Yeah, because, you know, when you are in your home and everything, you basically develop nose blindness to all the stuff that's, you know, might be causing a smell or something. Because you're around it so much that your sense of smell just essentially forgets that it's there. But a couple days ago, my mom was making a roast for dinner, and, you know, both me and Dad, you know, we're here, you know, he's in the living room, I'm in my area over here, and 6:30, Mom comes in, he's like, all right, you guys ready for dinner? I'm like, wait, you've been cooking something? He's like, yeah, I've been cooking a roast this whole time, you didn't smell it?
Oh, no.
Nope.
Did I tell you guys that my sister-in-law caught COVID from her, co-worker, yeah, she still is, she's still struggling with the sense of smell, but she's getting some of her taste back, and what did she say it tasted like? Everything tasted really weird.
Everything for me tastes really bland.
Okay.
Well, I say it tastes really bland. It's getting better. You know, like I can taste better now than I did a couple days ago. But it's definitely a slow development. And yeah, it's because so much of what we taste is linked to our sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
It heavily affects, you know, how you can eat and enjoy stuff. So I've basically had to over-season everything I eat over the last week or so just to taste anything.
Yeah.
And that's especially a dangerous proposition when you're eating something that's spicy. Because when you're eating something that's spicy, you experience like the sense of heat like throughout your entire tongue. Unless, of course, you have COVID, wherein you only sense it in certain spots. And more intensely, because all those other spots are basically dead for all things concerned.
Oh my God. It's misery.
Yeah.
It really does sound miserable.
Yeah.
It's overdoing it so you feel anything.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much all of my symptoms are gone. And like I said earlier, my dad's completely recovered. My mom is still dealing with the cough shit, but yeah. Other than that, we're all fine now. I don't think my dad's shedding the virus anymore, since, you know, he tested negative.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to be shedding it for another couple days. Not sure about my mom, but that's it. That's our adventures in the world of COVID-19. Honestly, I'm just surprised it took us this long to catch it.
You know, depending on the behavior, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Remember, we at one point, the state of Georgia had among the worst rate of cases in the country.
You guys were getting hammered hard there for a while.
And we didn't get it then either.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, anyway.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fun. So,
well, I'm glad you guys are on the mend. Glad you guys are on the mend.
Yeah. And if anybody ever tells you that COVID-19 is a hoax, you can tell them to go fuck themselves.
Oh, sideways.
Mm-hmm. Because I lived through it, so you don't have to. All right. So with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we start off the show proper with our assholes of the week. And we've got a handful this week. First and foremost, the officers responsible for David Prude's death, because not a single one of them will be charged with anything.
Yep. Yeah, they put a hood over his head,
mm-hmm.
press his body against the pavement until he stopped breathing.
Yep.
That's fucking horrible.
Yep. And really nothing more to add to that, except that these men got away with murder.
Yep.
At least unless, you know, well, I say that, but there's still civil charges that can be brought. So, next up in news of, we knew that the Biden administration might be a mild step up from the previous, but not by much. The Biden administration launched a series of airstrikes on Syria this Thursday, targeting facilities near the Iraqi border used by Iranian-backed militia. I'm guessing predominantly by Hezbollah. But yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one for my kid to wake up and say, why are we bombing Syria?
Mm-hmm.
Like, buddy, I wish I could tell you. All I can say is I don't condone it.
Yeah. But again, we knew that this was something that was going to happen, because basically a vote for Biden was a vote for returning to the status quo. And let's be honest, the status quo wasn't all it was cracked up to be.
No. We'll have to take the unfortunate stuff with the good stuff, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of unfortunate. That really nasty little bit of cold snap went through Texas a couple weeks ago. And not only did it basically unleash freezing temperatures across the state, it basically wrecked the entire state's power grid, leaving a bunch of people in the dark, dozens of people to freeze to death, some people to end up dying from carbon monoxide poisoning because they had built fires in their houses to stay warm. Let's just say that the ERCOT, which is, you know, the state's basically energy company, they ended up overcharging the people of Texas by about $16 billion. And guess who's refusing to reverse it?
Mm-hmm.
The state of Texas.
Yep. Yeah, the PUC chair, Arthur Dandria, said, "I totally get how it looks like you're protecting consumers by readjusting electric prices but I promise you, you're not. And that a retroactive decision would have winners and losers, you know, who you're hurting. You think you're protecting the consumer, and it turns out you're bankrupting someone else. Yeah, there are people that had managed to have their power a lot longer than others did. Some that were lucky that never had them interrupted at all. And I'm getting bills that were like $10,000. So, because it was, you know, readjusted based on how much was available to go out to them and all that. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And I think, I forget who it was. It was either Abbott or Dan Patrick was basically saying, like, well, you got to read the fine print of your contract. It's like, yeah, you can use that to screw people over all you want, but it's not how it should be done when you guys are the ones that fucked up all this. Could have had all your electric plants, you know, preparing for potential weather disasters like this.
Just man up and pay it, Texas. Don't force all this shit onto the regular people. All that bullshit about, if you bankrupt something else, well, let them go bankrupt. You know what? It was your product that failed. And, you know, how is this economy supposed to work? If you fail at something, you're supposed to pay the price, right? But no, they're just going to pass the losses on to the average Texan.
Yeah. Par for course.
Speaking of passing the buck on to the average Texan and Mississippian, for that matter, both the states of Texas and Mississippi are lifting COVID-19 restrictions and mask mandates. This is obviously supposed to be a diversion. Like, it's almost calculated to be one.
Yeah, I don't know, but Texas is opening up on Wednesday, on the 10th. Not sure about Mississippi. There's might be more media. They'll mention a date here, but yeah, Texas especially has been hit hard by COVID. Greg Abbott has been, you know, dragging his feet to try to do things because of the economy and all this. You know, work out really well because now they're going to put all the onus on continuing to require masks and all that kind of stuff on the businesses. A number have said they're going to keep all the same requirements they had before people coming in, which is, you know, probably going to attract a certain kind of audience to bitch all the time about to them.
Yeah, pretty fits. Much. All right. But, expect to see another COVID hot zone to develop in that particular region within the next couple months or so, I would say.
Yeah, that's a pretty good calculation.
Yeah. It's not all terrible because, as it happens, we actually do have Heroes of the Week this week, and this time our heroes are the House of Representatives because they passed a bunch of legislation this week. That's definitely good. First and foremost, the House passed the Equality Act to provide protections for the LGBTQ community under the Civil Rights Act.
Expanding the language on the Civil Rights Act to include discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as race. So,
yep. And on top of that, they also passed a sweeping voting reform bill called For the People Act. Because for those who don't know, down here in the South, in particular in my state of Georgia, after we ended up basically becoming a blue state, yeah, state government's not happy. And now they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. I want to say I saw even part of that is like it would be illegal to give food and drinks to people online. Stuff like that, which is like, man, how fucking pissed do you have to be to do this, you know?
Petty ass shit.
Yeah. like the Chappelle Show skit with Rick James, where he's saying "fuck your couch," just rubbing his dirty ass shoes in the man's couch, just to rub it in.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's not even just Georgia; it's states all over the country are looking to further restrict how and where and when you can vote, because it's not just getting Trump out of office; it's all these local and state elections that have, you know, the GOP in charge, and they are going to ensure that, you know, black and brown and other minorities can't get the people they actually want into power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And finally, the House also. Yeah, and on top of all that, the House also passed a police reform bill called the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act.
Yeah.
Which will, amongst other things, do away with what's the phrase? Targeted immunity or whatever.
Qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity, as well as reducing the use of chokeholds and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. I think both of those last two bills passed 220 to 212 along party lines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, ban no-knock warrants. Certain cases mandate data collection on police encounters, prohibit racial and religious profiling, and redirect funding to community-based policing programs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all of course, that all now goes to the Senate, and we'll see where that goes. Apparently, Mitch McConnell is looking to retire soon.
Really?
Yes. He has apparently made it known
put
that
together
he's
like a list of people.
Yeah,
to
he's basically. Yeah, he's putting together like a. He's let it known that he's putting together an exit strategy, basically. Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. Anyway, so with that out of the way, it's now time to go to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we have to start with the unfortunate COVID news, which is that the United States has now reached over 500,000 deaths from COVID-19.
Yep,
we have.
And me and my family were not any of them, so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than we lost in World War II.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's just. it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
It's really mind-boggling.
We're starting to see the curve go down as people get vaccinated and all that, but.
We're basically back now, or. We're back now around to the rates we had during last summer,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely an improvement, but do you remember what it was like last summer?
Last summer really wasn't so bad, it felt like, compared to everything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of us were still indoors, so
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, I mean, myself included, I'm planning to not be indoors and away from my friends and in my family this summer. But I'm also pretty freaking sure that by Memorial Day, I'm going to have my vaccine and it's going to be completely effective. Doesn't help the under 16 person who lives here who can't get it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, last summer, it didn't seem like a whole bunch of people were getting it, but some of the people that I found out who had it died.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, it was still scary in that way.
Mm.
Yeah. I saw that, I think we finally got under 50,000 hospitalizations at the same time for the first time since before November.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw that the number of flu cases that we had for this season is at like 99% drop from last year, last season.
Ain't it great what wearing masks can do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 174,000 2019 to 2020, and it's at just under 1,500 from 2020 to 2021.
Dang. Dang.
Mm-hmm. It's like that's what the protection of masks can do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And also shows you how this isn't the flu.
No.
COVID is not the flu.
No. No. And Ooh. And Brandon, it didn't seem like a sudden onset like the flu does. Have you ever had the flu?
A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, where you're fine and then like 3 hours Boom. Later.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, what just happened here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, from what I hear, it's not that way.
No, a lot of people, in fact, they don't even start showing symptoms until 4 days after contracting it. It took me about a week or so before I started feeling anything.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like all those individual symptoms are like weirdly grouped together and like spread out over a number of days. It's weird. Because I didn't feel any of them like all together at once a single day I've had this virus. It was always like two or three of them at a time.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about how like this virus is almost sentient and how it screws with you.
That's bananas.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of vaccines, though, Biden said that the Biden administration has announced that we'll hopefully have enough vaccines for every adult by the end of May. So, you know, we now got like three of them that are floating around out there now. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was looking at the Ohio distribution thing because it's going very slowly, though they just announced. As of yesterday, we're in phase 1C.
Yeah.
There's phase 1A, 1B, 1C. Some might say 1, 2, and 3. But this seems like you're still important.
Yeah.
But this one's, let's see, people with certain medical conditions that weren't covered in the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Certain occupations like childcare, funeral, law enforcement, correction services.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They're dragging their feet on some of this stuff. I don't know if that's because they don't have the vaccines to do a little quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Or what, but.
Yeah. But, yeah. I know my state, our Department of Health has like a thing where you can see where the vaccines are being distributed and you can like get scheduled and see like how far on the list you are. So as soon as I'm, you know, ready and able, I'm going to go ahead and contact the Department of Health and see what I can do. Because, you know. I'll have these antibodies, sure, but those will probably only last me probably until this summer. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I see we got a phase 2 now. Individuals age 60 and older.
Yeah.
My parents and aunts and uncles and all that.
Yeah. My grandma kind of didn't want to get it because she was not sure if she The thing with getting a vaccine, especially for something like COVID or the flu or whatever, is that it usually gives you a cold afterwards, and it's not the best feeling in the world. But after this, I'm pretty sure we can convince her of getting the vaccine too sweet.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Ask her if she likes to smell and eat things.
Mm-hmm.
She says, yeah, then do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my sister-in-law is probably at least a month since she tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
And she still can't taste or smell.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I've only really had that with like severe cold type stuff where your just nose is so stuffed up you can't smell or taste anything.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. Mm. This is all slimy now instead of tasting like a thing.
Mm-hmm. And next up, the House managed to pass the Biden administration's $1.9 trillion stimulus package. But when it goes to the Senate, of course, there's going to be budget reconciliation and means there's going to be some stuff that's going to end up changing. Amongst them, the $15 minimum wage amendment failed after 8 Dems joined the GOP in blocking it.
And so we need to get rid of these people.
I want to remind everybody that the $15 minimum wage is actually supported by the majority of Americans across party lines.
Yeah. Seems they have a list here. I've seen it somewhere.
Crystal Cinema and Joe Manchin are two of them. I already know that.
Yeah, the two senators from Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is. John Tester of Montana, Maggie Hassan and Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire, Tom Carper and Chris Coons of Delaware, along with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
Independent Angus King of Maine, caucuses with the Democrats, also voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, let's, if you're progressive in any states, get your paperwork in, start campaigning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
It's not a matter of if, it's when we get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People need this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it to the corporation.
Mm-mm. And more than anything, it also showed that most of the Dems kind of are, I don't know, inept, spineless.
Yeah.
The ones that are worried about losing their seat.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe you deserve to lose it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw when Kyrsten Sinema was making her vote.
Yeah, she gave her little bouncy thumbs down. Yeah.
Yeah, which people were critical of her. I think her PR team was like, oh, that's sexist. You can't criticize her over that.
And it was compounded by the fact that she had apparently brought a cake in for the staffers who'd been working overnight, which, you know, is fine, but then it made people, reminded people of, you know, Marie Antoinette's Let Them Eat Cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good optics. Not good optics at all. But, don't think that this is the end of it, because it won't be. It will inevitably come back again. In other news, famed golfer Tiger Woods managed to survive a rather horrific crash last Tuesday morning. But he ended up suffering some pretty serious injuries as a result.
Oh, crap. Yeah,
not sure they list the specific ones, but he basically shattered two of his right leg bones.
Mm-hmm.
Or fractured it. And also basically shattered his right ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to get into surgery pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
To get those fixed. He'll be out of action for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems like he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still trying to figure out how the crash happened, because they figured out he wasn't under the influence of anything.
Mm.
It was 7 a.m.
Yeah.
A route that he knew pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're wondering if, like, maybe some animal got in the road, caused him to, you know, try to get out of the way and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But also seems to be an area that's a place that's seen, you know, plenty of accidents this way.
All right.
So I think that's like a rather steep hill downwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But luckily, he was wearing a seatbelt and all that and was okay for the most part.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good advice to show. Wear your seatbelt. You might actually come out of it alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's a treat for you. Trump's tax returns have been turned over to the Manhattan District Attorney after the Supreme Court rebuffed his appeal.
Yep. So let's see what comes of that, but finally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, there's going to be a lot of shit to go over. Because, see, that's the thing, and it's a very, like, common practice for these big corporate types is they'll when they're like forced to do like discovery and like turn over paperwork, they'll usually glut it with like a lot of useless jargon and drivel and stuff in the pages just to make their job a little bit harder. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving on from there, the United States has implicated the Saudi crown prince in the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if they're actually doing anything like as far as sanctions or anything like that. But
well, I mean, they can't really do anything because, you know, Saudi Arabia is still, like, one of our key oil providers. So, yeah, you basically have to...
I guess so, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Buyer of arms.
Mm-hmm. And active in a genocide in Yemen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. And now for something I think has also been sort of making the news rounds. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York announced that he will not be stepping down after harassment allegations surfaced. And this, of course, is on top of the fact that we now know that his administration underreported the number of COVID deaths in New York nursing homes.
Yeah. So he had to have a big press conference to say he wasn't resigning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wonderful.
Well, hey, they can vote him out.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that is.
Yeah. It's infuriating. But now for some good news. The Biden administration is looking to allow families separated by Trump's policies to reunite in the U.S. This, of course, came after, you know, news started spreading that they were building new facilities on the border.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're not meant to work as concentration camps. I mean, obviously when, you know, the kids come in, you know, you want to make sure that they're somewhere safe where they can be taken care of, and given, you know, water to drink, food to eat, toothpaste, and places to shower. But that's still kind of what they are, internment camps.
Yeah.
They kind of inherited the shitty system from Trump, and now they're having to kind of work with what they have.
Yeah. Yeah, the lawyers are still trying to locate the parents of nearly 500 children who've been split from their families.
Mm-hmm.
So they've at least been finding some of them. It was mm-hmm. 611 a month ago.
Yeah, pretty much. So. Yeah, it's just infuriating. We talked earlier about how, a couple of states are sort of jumping the gun on lifting COVID restrictions now that, we got a bunch of vaccines out there and, the rate has started sloping downwards and everything. And so Joe Biden basically said that governors and the others were looking to lift them so quickly were taking part in Neanderthal thinking.
That was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed reading that headline.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Senator Marco Rubio got all offended because, he's got a virtue signal to his base.
Yeah, he tweeted out this whole weird tweet saying, President Biden's use of an old stereotype is hurtful to modern Europeans, Asians, and Americans who inherit about 2% of their genes from Neanderthal ancestors. Links to a CNN article says, he should apologize for his insensitive comments and seek training on unconscious bias. Yeah, to which George Takei said, I'm assuming this is satire. So hard to tell with people who suck at this.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
Abbott was really really glad that he brought it up and deflected, more attention from the recent failings in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, Marsha Blackburn said that, oh no, Neanderthal thinking is good.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. she said, see, Neanderthals are hunter-gatherers, they're protectors of their family, they're resilient, they're resourceful, they tend to their own. So I think Joe Biden needs to rethink what he is saying.
This is present tense.
Yeah, this the thing people notice is like, they're extinct.
Yeah.
You can't hurt their feelings.
Homo sapiens kind of wiped them out years ago.
Yeah. Oh, my, my, my. But, you know, let's not expect her to have even a basic understanding of high school curriculum.
Yeah. You just realize we really are in the dumbest timeline.
And isn't that such a goddamn shame when we have the sum of all human knowledge in our back goddamn pocket? And do people really not care to keep learning or something? I really don't get it.
No. You misunderstand. Both of these people know this stuff, but they know that their face will listen to anything that they have to say and believe it.
Yeah. I've heard from people at my workplace, they put signs up, people just ignore them. They get brought to their attention. They've been told things like, it's my day off, I don't have to read.
Oh, what? Seriously?
It's like, how'd you get here? You saw the signs, you read them. You saw that that was the right place to get off on the highway, though maybe you did enough, you memorize it, but still.
Oh my god.
I'd love to be that point in life.
I don't have to read.
He's like, I don't have to do smart things on my day off.
Mm-hmm.
I turn brain off.
Hi. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. Here's another bit of fun. Dominion voting systems. And that, I think, that what's their parent company called? It's like, I can't remember. But,
I think that's it.
As everybody knows, they've been putting out these huge million-dollar defamation suits to a bunch of people who basically spread the lie that they apparently were helped Biden cheat in the election.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Dominion was only used in a few states, and I think in those few states, Biden only won in one of them. And then, of course, there's also the fact that... Well, that and also they started a conspiracy theory that Dominion was apparently created back by Hugo Chavez in order to mess with American elections.
Oh, boy. I've got to get an extra arm for the reach that that has.
Keep in mind that Hugo Chavez has been dead since, I think, 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he works wonders Nicolas Maduro. Beyond the grave.
That is, yeah. It is Nicolas Maduro that is the current head of Venezuela, not Chavez. But anyway. Yeah, and their next target is MyPillow and MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell.
Yeah, because of his 2-hour special on OAN.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was filled with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he could have kept his goddamn mouth shut and he could have still been living high.
Mm-hmm. He went on, there was that, I think it was recently, he was invited on a segment, and I think it was OAN, on OAN. It was either OAN or Newsmax.
I think it was one Newsmax, where they basically shut him down.
Yeah, they basically had to shut him down because they're like, dude, stop. You're spreading shit that's going to get us sued. It got so bad, like, the anchor in the middle literally just got up from his seat and left the room.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
you had to, like, preface it, like, these are things he's saying. That you have to look at the facts, all this. Because, like, when the CPAC was going on, like, they literally had to cut away just so the anchors could relay the you know, details. Like, hey, this is not, these are just their opinions. This is not necessarily what we believe. You know, all this kind of stuff. Like, they were getting booed for it.
Yeah.
And isn't Newsmax, like, pretty damn shady to begin with? And they're even like, no!
Yeah, Newsmax is pretty shady, and OAN is even shadier.
Yeah.
A tenth of the budget and a tenth of the concern of ethics and all that.
Yeah. Because of this stuff, that's the reason Lou Dobbs got his show canceled on Fox, because
many cancel people culture think strikes crazy. Again.
They think he was the sacrificial lamb for the network before they actually go end up going to court. But yeah, so that's a lot of fun. So here's another thing that happened this week. Boeing 777s. Airlines ground dozens of them all across the country because one of them in Denver, Denver International, failed during its flight. It's one of its engines disassembled and dropped pieces.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You can see some pictures.
Yeah, somebody actually like got out their iPhone and filmed the whole thing happening. It's literally the thing. It just come like
the casing is like come apart, and you can just see the fire.
Yeah,
on the back of it.
Yeah, like
which is normal, but you're obviously not supposed to see it.
Yeah. Keep in mind, you know, those things have like what is it, like four engines on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if one of them fails, you know, they can get by with three. But
at least to get to a landing, but not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not these nicely.
These are ones that had Pratt & Whitney 4000-112 engines.
Mm-hmm.
So about 69 of the 777 jets that are in service are powered by the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
They have another 59 in storage. So a number of airlines like United Airlines, Korean Air, Asiana Airlines, All Nippon Airways, and Japan Airlines all use these mm-hmm. sorts of 777s with engines. Those engines, so they're grounding a bunch of them to do inspections because they found that this engine particularly was just in terrible shape, worse than they mm-hmm. had thought. They were supposed to go to Hawaii, Honolulu, mm-hmm. and only took minutes for the engine to start falling apart, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to basically start turning around.
Good. Mm. That's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. And, wonderful. And this ain't the first, this ain't the first time Boeing's had to deal with this shit. Remember, they ended up having to ground a bunch of, wasn't it 747s? Because
I think so. Because
these had planes stay in
circulation a lot longer than they should.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything else with businesses, like try and use it as long as possible. They're expensive to replace.
Mm-hmm.
With airplanes, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, all right. So next up, Dr. Seuss Enterprises. They are, of course, the company that is essentially the guardianship over the works of Theodore Seuss Geisel, mostly known as Dr. Seuss. Of course, most people call it Dr. Seuss, and even he said, all right, fine, if that's how you want to pronounce it, you can pronounce it Seuss, if that's fine.
As long as you give him money, call him whatever you want.
Yeah, so Mr. Geisel had a long career before he started making children's books.
Wasn't he a political cartoonist, I believe?
Yes, he was a fairly prolific political cartoonist during World War II, and if you ever get a chance, actually look at his cartoons from that era, because on the one hand, they're a really good kind of time capsule of that era, because his biggest target during that time was the America First Committee, which was the sort of major keep America out of the war, you know, Charles Lindbergh, that whole group. And he was one of the first people to publicly accuse them of actually having ties with the Nazi party in Germany, the ruling party, which turned out he was telling the truth. And then we got Japan attacking us on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. And then thereafter, pretty much every one of his cartoons had some sort of really awful racial stereotype in it.
Yep.
So did a whole lot of other cartoons.
Yeah. Amongst other stuff he did, he also had a comic strip that he did for a while, which I'm kind of sad he never actually kept going, because it's actually really good. But see if I can remember if I can find it here. Because, see, he had a... I can't remember it. But, yeah, and after all that, he then started making his first children's books. And the when people, like, actually think about the actual, like, books that he knows of, most people know of Horton Hears a Who,
Grinch.
Father Grinch Stole Christmas, the Sneetches, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, Green Eggs and Ham, Fox and Socks, The Lorax, you know all these books. These are classics, and they stand up to the test of time because he was the kind of writer who did not set out to create a moral for his stories. They just kind of developed that way. But this week, they announced that because of changing market conditions, they will no longer be printing copies of 6 of his earlier books. These are books that he released fairly early in his career and, you know, were never really that terribly popular to begin with. Of these books, the only one I myself had ever heard of was And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of any of these.
Yeah. But let's see. Let me see if I can find the list on here.
Yeah, there's that one, If I Ran in the Zoo.
Yeah, and If I Ran the Elegant Zoo.
Pool.
Yeah.
Beyond Zebra.
Scramble Eggs Super and The Cat's Quizzer. Again, never heard any of these. Don't worry, because pretty much nobody else has either. these were... Most people don't realize that Dr. Seuss didn't really become like a... His books really didn't become like a big hit until Horton Hears the Who and The Cat in the Hat. Those were the books that basically made him famous. Before that, he put out a bunch of books that weren't... Yeah, they weren't terribly popular. They were like a moderate success, but they didn't really bring him any real financial gain. And these early books, you can definitely tell the era they were made in because, again, they were usually made like shortly after World War II. And a lot of them have very insensitive and racist imagery, specifically towards Asians.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, because, again, this isn't government censorship. This is a private publishing company deciding that books that Dr. Seuss, even his own lifetime, admitted that he had issues with and ended up having to revise a couple of times during his lifetime. They decided on their own, you know, after having consulted with the Seuss family themselves to pull them from being published again. And so, of course, the culture warriors are losing their upper-loving shit because of it.
Yeah, and then there was people like, oh, well, this one library, they banned Dr. Seuss, and that is not even close to what...
We're banning books the, just like the Nazis.
What do you want? Do you just want to be outraged? Because, you know...
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, of course, is combined also with the announcement that I believe it was Hasbro. Yeah, they are rebranding the Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head by just calling it the Potato Head family. And now you can just get a potato, well, the plastic potato, and basically both the Mr. and Mrs. pieces in it. And mix and match as you desire.
Man, we were mixing and matching those back in the 70s. There's nothing new about this.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there was a time before you even got the plastic potato to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, had you to supply your own damn potato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now they've decided, you know, like, instead of putting them in specific gendered sets, they're basically just going to throw them all into one potato playset.
Yeah.
So you're basically getting what were previously 2 toys in one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're mad about potatoes where you can put the limbs and such in any old hole you want to make them real fucked up.
Yeah, just for the record, I'm pretty sure that the potato has no holes in what would be its genital regions. And furthermore, I'm also sure that we were never putting any little plastic
penises
or vulvas on them.
That's where you gotta get a parent to add some extra holes.
Don't think about that phrase too much, or let's move on.
Yeah, I saw the. I don't know if you saw the bits of the new Space Jam movie.
Mm-hmm.
People are freaking out about Lola Bunny.
Yeah, because they changed her character design a bit. You guys saw Space Jam, right? The original.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I never made it to do that. I never made time to do that.
Yeah, that's fine. You're not actually missing much. I'll be honest. You're not really missing much.
A lot of my friends went to the theater and saw it, and I'm just like, I'm going to be over here.
Yeah. I went and saw it in the theater, too. I liked it because I was a dumb kid. But, yeah. Originally, the original design of hers was, like, super over-sexualized.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to be sort of the joke, I guess. And for those who don't know, it's not like Lola disappeared. Lola eventually became
part of the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, the Looney Tunes recent shows. Yeah, the recent shows where they basically turned her into a complete fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
And she's not over-sexualized in that either. But now they've got the new design where she's less sexualized. You know, she doesn't have prominent busts and she... her head's a little bigger. Yeah. And so, you know, the asshole, like people like that jackass from The Quartering are starting to lose their damn minds.
Yeah, they're upset about a cartoon bunny and a potato and Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Which I've seen people like, how can they say these Dr. Seuss books are bad, but WAP is still allowed? It's like, one, it's heavily censored for radio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
And it's like, it's a song about sex. It's very silly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it.
Okay.
For the record, how do you not know that she's just wearing a sports bra?
Exactly.
But anyway. Yeah. So that's the Culture Warrior bullshit for this week. Like I said, this type of shit really doesn't get the kind of ratings it used to. It's why they have to like take all this stuff in like groups now instead of just on an individual basis, because by themselves neither one of these anyone would care, but you group them together and it feels like a trend.
Yeah.
But we just need to wait for that generation to die off, and won't it be grand?
Eventually.
I don't know. They seem to be pushing it on their children.
Yeah. Anyway, now for a story about how bad things are in Canada. Right now, a major issue right now is Buttergate. And the reason is because up there in Canada, people noticed that the butter they were getting is a little harder than it usually is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they tend to leave their butter on the counter.
Yeah.
You know, so they can use it on their bread or toast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and soft. And been noticing that it's a bit harder since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
People have figured out that it's likely due to increased use of palmitic acid, a palm oil mm-hmm. derivative in cow feed.
Yep.
Ew.
And the problem with palmitic acid is that you increase the level of saturated fat. Try the point of fusion for products like butter is much higher now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Not good.
And I think the organic butter hasn't changed at all. So, you know that it's not necessarily all butter products are like this now.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Beautiful.
And that's the big controversy they're having up there right now, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm.
I suppose.
Now with some good news, NASA released footage of the Mars Perseverance rover landing on Mars this week.
Yep.
That's literally the first time we've had that kind of footage in high definition.
Yeah, you can watch a few really different feeds of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything is like the shot of the chute had like a code on it.
Yep.
A special code that people figured out fairly quickly. It was some nerd thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget what the code was meant for, but yeah, it's some really cool higher res video than we've had before. So
yeah. And Mars looks like a gaping void. I mean, let's be honest, I didn't expect anything else.
Yeah, it's a dirt and rock planet.
Yeah, but yeah. Next up, SpaceX. SpaceX's SN10 Starship. They've been like doing testing recently, and they had a landing test where they were like, you know, can the spaceship like, you know, launch up and then can it return back, you know, to its original vertical stance when landing? And it did. It actually pulled it off.
Hmm.
And then a few minutes later, it exploded.
What? Yeah. I have not been paying attention.
Yeah, there's video for that on this page.
Yeah.
They basically just landed, and what they think happened is there's like a methane leak.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden it just exploded and flew off to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
So, still stuff to work on it.
Yep. yeah. Anyway, all right. So, who's ready for another streaming service?
Do I have to pay?
Paramount Plus. It unveiled this week.
Yeah.
And, give us the basics.
Yeah, so entry-level price for Paramount Plus is the same as CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
$5 a month for the base ad-supported tier.
Mm-hmm.
That launches in June. Dollar less than the current entry-level CBS All Access package.
Mm-hmm.
With commercials, the full Paramount Plus premium tier with no ads.
Mm-hmm.
Except in live programming will be the same at $9.99 a month.
Mm.
And yeah, the $5 monthly plan includes live sports, including NFL games. It'll exclude local CBS stations.
Mm.
Let's see.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's kind of the basics. The rebrand of CBS All Access has happened by now, March 4th, to Paramount Plus. But the new full service will be happening a little bit later, I think.
Mm-hmm. Amongst other things, we know that theatrical movies will be coming to the service 45 days after they debut in theaters.
Yeah. So that includes stuff like the new Mission Impossible, Quiet Place 2, as far as some of their more closer upcoming releases. Let's see, Mission Impossible 7's November 19th.
Yeah.
For theaters, and A Quiet Place Part 2 is September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be about a month and a half after that.
Mm. All right.
And that'll be, I see that becoming more of a standard thing across these different services.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, the Halo TV series adaptation. We now know it's jumping from Showtime over to Paramount. So,
yep.
Hmm.
I guess it's supposed to be out early next year at some point.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And now for some good news. Amongst the things that are coming for Paramount Plus, the Rugrats are being revived with the original cast.
Oh. Yep.
It's a CG animated style.
But, I mean, that can work. Just depends on, you know, what studio they get to do it.
Yeah. There is, like, a teaser out there. It's not in this article for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Looks all right.
Yeah. We'll see. What else? Oh yeah, they're doing another Frasier.
What?
Reviving Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
With Kelsey Grammer as an executive producer.
Yeah.
So far, he's the only person that's on board from the original mm-hmm. show.
Mm.
So they haven't confirmed anybody else on there just yet.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah, and of course they're making a lot of series based on their old movies.
Yeah. So that's stuff like, mm-hmm. let's see here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the Italian Job sequel. This one based on Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Fatal Attraction's getting a series.
Mm-hmm.
Parallax View and Flashdance. Nothing really huge there.
Mm-hmm. No big shock. And we also got some movies announced for it, specifically for the service. What movies would those be?
Let's see. Paranormal Activity sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. I think that's the reboot. They've got the first one they're working on, and they're doing a follow-up after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a prequel to Pet Sematary that will debut on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
Yeah. The in between.
The pet became dead.
Yeah. Like, isn't that? Is that before the cat got hit by a car? Like, is
no,
that?
I'm gonna assume it's like some other animals that, you know,
Origin story. They're calling it here.
Oh.
I don't
know.
Maybe
it'll tell the story about the old guy telling you not to go down that road.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, then the third one they announced is The In-Between, which is a supernatural thriller from the director of Chum Scrubber and The Face of Love, Ari Posen, which will also be on the movie, on the service.
Yeah.
So,
in other words, it's a whole lot of, who gives a shit?
Well, there's also... That's a new series in the world of Avatar and Legend of Korra.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that, too.
Star Trek Prodigy series that's more kid-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
They're rebooting iCarly, I guess. Live-action versions of Dora the Explorer and The Fairly Odd Parent. So,
yeah.
There's that.
No.
Beavis and Butthead movie, new one. As well as a Workaholics movie.
Yeah.
Spinoffs of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and Reno 911. That's weird.
Okay, Reno 911, I would actually not mind, like, at least some new episodes of that. With the original cast, please.
Like, can they still get away with it in this day and age? And
well, I mean, Reno 911 is, like, the whole point is that they're all incompetent buffoons.
Yeah.
And they're also in, like, such a
small town. So, yeah, they can totally get them.
Well, can they do it without being overly political?
They're also nakedly corrupt as well.
Yeah, that is true.
Also, it's a spinoff, so it doesn't necessarily have to be about the cops. It might be them and like a new thing, because obviously they're incompetent. Maybe they got fired eventually. Something like that. They mentioned new seasons of Star Trek Discovery and Lower Decks. I assume Picard.
Hopefully Picard. I mean, don't take too long to wrap up the series. I hate to point out that time is ticking.
Yeah. There's a reunion of the Real World's original New York cast and a bunch of other MTV stuff.
Yeah. Because apparently MTV can't get their shit together enough to actually do any quality crap.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I mean, definitely having more like Avatarverse stuff would be good. The difference being that, you know, hopefully the network won't step in and totally tell them that they're going from a special to a season to a whole series like they did Korra. Also allow the same sex couple to actually have a kiss on screen this time.
Yeah.
Don't be like coy about it. Like, I understand you had restrictions you had to deal with the first time, but
Yeah.
It seems like they're doing a special. I guess it does launch March 4th. But they're doing a 50% discount for the first 12 months using the discount code Paramount Plus. All letters. Regular annual pricing is $60 for a year with ads, $99.99 per year without ads. So you get a year for like $30 if you are okay with ads, which is not too bad.
Yeah,
I would just more likely just pay for a month and watch stuff and come back to another month if I want some.
Yeah,
that's the thing about subscription services, you don't have to keep them all the time.
Yeah,
you can just say, hey, there's something on here, let me pay the $10 and I'll watch it and move on with my life.
Yeah,
you know, to be like, this is what I have to pay for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right? That's true.
But, all right. I do believe we have a show, folks. So with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can catch and catch. Shutting down. Rebuffering. You can catch us. You can catch us and email us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And with that, we have come to the end of this episode for this week. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Teresa Savage and Chris Logie, good night, sleep tight. I really hate not having a sense of smell.